continuing the series One Another. And today's sermon is entitled Encourage One Another. And I will tell you, I don't usually have a subtitle for my message, but if I did, my subtitle today would be It's Time to Join the Barnabas Brigade. Now, I want to give you a couple of definitions before we start. First of all, the word encourage contains this word, the word courage, and I looked it up. It means strength in the face of pain or grief. Strength in the face of pain or grief. I just want to put this right out there at the beginning for you this morning. We're going to face pain. We're going to face grief. We're going to face trouble. We're going to face trials. And anybody who tries to tell you that Christians shouldn't, I don't know what Bible they're reading. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have troubles. In this world, you will have troubles, but be of good courage and cheer. I have overcome the world. That's Jesus speaking. So courage is strength in the face of pain or grief. Now, if you go to the next slide, here is what the word encourage means. It means to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. It bothers me as a Christian. It bothers me as a pastor when I see people who are running around claiming to be followers of Christ, but they have no confidence. And I tell you what, you're going to have to give me a moment here. I'll tell you, the enemy does not want this message preached. He keeps causing my tablet with my sermon notes to go turn off on its own. There we go. I want you to go to Acts chapter 4. It's actually verse 36. I'm sorry, it says 37 up there. And it simply says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. Okay, this man's name was Joseph, but we don't see him called that anymore after this. By being a Levite, that means he was descended from the tribe of Levi, and they were the ones who were given the responsibility of assisting the priests with the duties of the temple. He came from the island of Cyprus. It says, whom the apostles called Barnabas, son of encouragement. Now, if you know anything at all, you probably have heard me say this in the past, his name actually is not Hebrew. The word Barnabas is not Hebrew. It is Aramaic. But just like in Hebrew, the word bar means son of. And Nabas actually means prophet. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. That kind of prophet, not P-R-O-F-I-T. I think that's one of the problems we've got in the church today. We got too many people wanting to be the sons of prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, instead of P-R-O-P-H-E-T. In this context, though, the translators have felt that the best way to interpret that is encouragement, and we see that if you study and you read about Barnabas. This is the man who went and found Saul of Tarsus after he'd become a Christian and brought him to the disciples in Jerusalem and said, hey, he's okay. He's not what he used to be. Can I tell you? All of us know some people who have given their hearts to the Lord. They're not what they used to be, but people won't let them forget about their past. And they're looking for a Barnabas who will come along and say, come with me. And then we need some people, some Barnabases, who will stand in front of the rest of the church and say, stop judging them over what they used to be. They've changed. Barnabas is the one when him and Saul began their first missionary journey out of the church in Antioch. If you read through the book of Acts, it starts out, it says Barnabas and Saul went here. Barnabas and Saul left and went there. But there came a point in that journey where all of a sudden Saul started using his Roman name of Paul. He became the spokesperson. He became the one kind of that was in the forefront. And Barnabas, the son of encouragement, backed off, and he didn't mind playing second fiddle to Paul. You know, the problem is we got too many people sitting in churches today. They want to be the top dog. They want to be number one. They want to be the leader. I'm going to be very blunt with you. As a pastor, when I get somebody in the church that constantly thinks they've got to be the one in charge of something, I get a little bit leery of letting them have a position of authority. Well, y'all are quiet on that one. Tell you what, I'd rather have somebody that's reluctant to lead that I feel God is calling to lead than somebody who's too quick to volunteer to lead. Barnabas is one of these. Barnabas was a son of encouragement, and he was so focused on encouraging other people that the disciples didn't even call him by his name. They gave him a new name, and they called him Barnabas. And the rest of the New Testament, anytime he's referred to, he is referred to as the son of encouragement. It's Barnabas. How many of you will admit that in the last few months you have battled discouragement? I'll raise my hand. Let's face it. If we listen to the news, if we listen to the politicians, and if we listen to those who call themselves ministers of the gospel that are constantly preaching politics, it's easy to get discouraged. But I think we need to look around and we need to find those who are battling discouragement in the body, in the church family. And we need to become a Barnabas to them. We need to become a child of encouragement. So let's see what the Bible has to say about this. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13, 14. It says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Let me ask you a question. What is the most important day you need to focus on? Today. Today. You see, the problem is the enemy likes to come along and he wants you to think about yesterday. Folks, yesterday's gone. It's over. It's done. If you did something there contrary to God's commands, you need to repent of it, ask for forgiveness, accept the forgiveness, and then leave it in the past, because that's where God's going to leave it. What about tomorrow? The Bible tells us today has enough burdens and worries of its own. Don't be overly concerned about tomorrow. I will tell you, I have done this in the past, and I battle this occasionally still, but not often, where there's times I'm so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, I miss the joy of today. Today. Paul says, encourage one another daily, and do it while it is called today. Why? Because if we don't, our hearts are going to become hardened because sin's going to deceive us. Folks, can you change what you did yesterday? What's the only thing you can do about yesterday? Repent over it and then leave it. What can you do about tomorrow? Who can tell me what you're going to do tomorrow? None of us. Now, we make plans. We have a schedule to keep. Charlie assumes that he's going to get up early and go out and unlock the gate at the shooting range. Then he's going to head to the store so he can package up orders that have to be mailed out. Then he's going to come to the church and get the church deposit ready and go make that and pay the church's bills. That's his plans. But it's not a certainty, because he doesn't know what's going to happen. I want to encourage you, Charlie, you may not have to do any of that tomorrow. Jesus may come. Amen. Encourage one another daily. Folks, we cannot encourage somebody once and think it's one and done and we're good. Folks, we need to be doing it daily. And here's the neat thing about it. If you'll make it a daily part of your life to encourage others, if you sow encouragement to others, what will you reap back in the harvest? Encouragement as well. Heard Rachel a while ago. She is so happy because she got lettuce from her garden. What did you plant? You planted what though? To get that lettuce, what did you plant? You planted lettuce. A lettuce seed. You didn't plant a radish seed and get lettuce. You planted lettuce and you got lettuce. You can't be going around planting discouragement, fear, doubt, and expect to get encouragement back. I think it would do all of us good. How many Star Trek fans do I have? All right, I got some Star Trek fans. Have you ever noticed on Star Trek, it doesn't matter where they're at, everything is recorded 24/7. How many of you would like to have that going on in your life right now? I mean, they want to know what was going on. They're like, computer, show us Captain Kirk's records from this date, this time. And it's all there. I wouldn't want that. But here's the thing, folks. Encouraging people is a constant, ongoing process. And there are some people out there you're going to encounter that you're going to grow a bit weary of it, but the Bible says do not grow weary in well-doing. You're going to have to encourage them on a continual, ongoing basis until they gain the victory. Some are going to do it quick. Some it's going to take weeks, months, years. I've got a few people in my life, not very many, thank goodness, but I got a few people, I've been trying to be an encourager to them for years and it hasn't actually helped. But because they're a dear friend and I love them, I'll keep on doing it. So encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. There's two things in these two verses I want to look at for just a moment. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That phrase, spur one another on, to me is very similar to encouraging one another. You know what? We need to be pushing one another once in a while. Who wears spurs? Well, now see, you're only half right. You're only partially right, because people who ride horses wear spurs, and they're not all cowboys and cowgirls, okay? Some of them are jockeys, some of them are fox hunters, horse riders wear spurs. What is the purpose of spurs? It's not to abuse the animal. It's to encourage the animal to get a move on and to pay attention. Paul says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. You know, the sad part of it is I have encountered Christians who don't spur other believers on to love and good deeds. They try to browbeat them to it. I'm just letting that sit there for a moment. I want that to simmer in your minds. To spur one another on to love and good deeds means to gently persuade, a little nudge if needed, but not an abusive browbeating. Rudeness and meanness have no place in the life of a believer. Are you all awake? You're awfully quiet out there. Spur one another. Nudge if need be, but gently. And on to what? To do what you want them to do? No, on to love one. On to the love one another we talked about 2 weeks ago. To loving and good deeds. I don't want to embarrass Rachel, but a while ago, between Sunday school and church, she said, I'll be back in a minute. I got to go check on one of our church family members. I need to make sure she's okay this morning. She hadn't been feeling good. What was that? Well, that was a good deed. Nobody had to spur her on to that. As far as I know, she just did that out of the love and kindness of her heart. She wanted to go make sure that our church family member was doing okay this morning. Folks, let me tell you something. You want to win people to the Lord, they're going to pay attention more to what you do than what you say. Once they start to see that you're doing the right thing, then they'll start to listen to you when you tell them about the right thing. Amen? Verse 25 in Hebrews 10. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Let me just interject something there momentarily. We always use that to talk about being in church. And yes, that is part of that. But it also, I think, has a lot to do with us simply coming together as when we can, as brothers and sisters in Christ, outside the church building. Okay? I know with a lot of us with work schedules and other things and things going on in our families, it's not always easy. But we need to get together once in a while. Go have a cup of coffee. Go out and waste some ammunition at the shooting range. Go get a bite to eat. Go just sit down and talk. Take a walk, whatever. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What is the day he's talking about? He's talking about the day of the Lord, the day of Christ's return. Folks, it's getting closer every day. We don't know when it is. I saw one pastor put up on Facebook this morning. He said some people are trying to say, oh, Jesus isn't coming back for a year or 5 years. We don't know when he's coming back. He may come back before we get to the last amen of this service. And then again, he may not come back for another 150 years. You see, we don't know. So what Paul's really saying is, because each day it's closer and closer, we need to encourage one another. Somebody needs to hear this, what I'm about to say. This wasn't even in my notes. This wasn't even in my thoughts until just now. Some of you need to stop and think before you speak. Now, some of you are really agreeing quick, and you don't know where I'm going with this. You see, because some of us sometimes have this problem. Somebody comes up and starts to tell us about their friend that was in the bad motorcycle accident, and rather than encouraging them and praying with them for their friend, we feel compelled to tell them our motorcycle accident story to show them that ours is worse than theirs. Do you understand the point I'm making? Topping their story and playing one-upmanship is not encouraging them. My friend's been in a bad accident and he broke his leg. Can you help me pray for him? Well, yeah, I'll pray. But let me tell you about my friend who was in the accident. He broke both legs and an arm. See what I'm saying? We need to pay more attention to our own words. Because we need to be encouraging others daily as we see the day of the Lord growing closer and closer. Now here's the real question. What exactly do we need to be saying to encourage them? Well, first of all, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to 11. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, church, every time we think about the salvation that Christ has provided us through his death and resurrection, it ought to make us shout. It ought to make us joyful. It ought to make us glad. We have no reason, listen to me, church, we have no reason to be down and gloomy and in the doldrums when we think about the fact that Christ gave his very life to save us. Because there's nothing in life you're facing or have ever faced or will ever face that is worse than the sin problem that we're born with. Say, Pastor, I don't think that's encouraging. Well, it ought to be. If God found a way to solve the sin problem, everything else is gravy. Well, I got one or two of you on my side. Some of you may need to think about that. If God found a way to reconcile mankind back to himself, in spite of sin, any physical malady, any sickness, any disease, any natural disaster, anything we face is gravy for God to take care of. It's cake. He can take. If he found a way to reconcile us to himself because of his love for us and to overcome the sin issue, everything else for God is simple. Amen? For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. Now in this, Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica because some of them were concerned because some of their members had died, and they were afraid that if they died, they weren't going to be around to go to heaven. They didn't understand yet about the rapture of the church. So listen to what he says. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, meaning alive or dead, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. What's Paul saying? He says, look, you're concerned about those that have died? Don't worry about it. They'll go to heaven if they were a follower of Christ as well. You're still alive and he comes back today? Don't worry about it. You're going to go to heaven with him. We get to live with him as long as we're saved. So encourage one another with these words. Georgia, God, if God only has another 2 days for you to live on this earth, we would miss you. But I will tell you, if God takes you in a day or two, I'm not praying that he does. Doesn't, but if he does, I'm going to be envious because you're going to be with him ahead of me. What's the worst thing a person can do to you? Huh? Take your life. But do you realize that if that person takes your life and you're a follower of Christ, they've just done you a big favor? They've gotten you out of all this mess and nonsense we're in, and you step from here right into the presence of your Savior. Now, that ought to encourage us. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and do something stupid. Please, don't go outside the church and step out on the First Street when traffic's coming. Okay, don't be... Don't do that. But praise God. Are you alive today? You're living in his presence. Are you going to be dead by tomorrow? Praise God, you're going to be in his presence. That's encouraging. See, we get our focus off what's going on around us, and remember that no matter what, the ultimate result of our life, if we're obedient to Christ and we're walking in him and obeying his word, the ultimate thing is that we get to live with him. And that ought to encourage us. That ought to give you courage to walk out of here and face anything there is. You ought to walk out of here with more courage than the cowardly lion had when he walked away from the wizard. Amen? The very simple fact that we, like Christ, you know, Jesus said this in the upper room. It says in John chapter 11, it says when he went to wash the disciples' feet, it said he knew where he came from, he knew where he was going, so therefore he could stoop, literally, and take on the task of a servant. And it didn't matter. Because he knew he came from the Father. He knew he was going to the Father. Folks, do you understand? From this point forward, if you're a follower of Christ, you can take on anything the world throws at you because you know where you're going. Amen. That ought to encourage you. That ought to get rid of some doubt and fear. Right, Treva? Yes. So what exactly is it that we need to be telling one another to encourage one another? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant about those who die or fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Amen. You start feeling a little bit down and discouraged because of coronavirus and COVID-19, just remember, one of these days we're going home. Amen. You start to feel down and discouraged because you got to wear a mask when you don't want to. Get your focus on the fact that one of these days we're going home and we won't have to wear a mask for eternity. You've got a sickness or a disease or something wrong in your physical body today that's bothering you. Well, it's not fun. It's not pleasant. But praise God, eventually we go home where it'll never bother us again. You've got a car that acts up every once in a while when you get within 35 miles of your apartment. Well, praise God, in heaven you won't have to have a car and you don't have to worry about it. Praise God. You got a hip that's bothering you this morning as you're up here kind of limping around. You got a back that's bothering you. You got this problem, that problem. Praise God. One of these days, folks, we go home and it won't bother us anymore. That ought to encourage you. I've brought this illustration up many times, but I'll bring it up one more time in closing. It's one that I'm borrowing from Francis Chan. I love this illustration. I want you to imagine, put your imagination caps on for a moment. I want you to imagine that I'm holding in my hand a rope, and that rope just circles around this sanctuary, unending. And in my hand, I'm holding about an 8-inch piece of it, and of those 8 inches, 6 inches are painted red. But that rope just goes on. You can't even find the other end of it. And that rope represents eternity. And that 6 inches of red represents your life here and now. See, the problem is we fight and scratch and claw and get all bent out of shape over that 6 inches when, in all honesty, all that 6 inches is for us to have a beginning relationship with Christ so that at the end of that 6 inches of red, we begin eternity with Him. But the devil gets us focusing on the 6 inches of the red and all the troubles and trials that come with it, and we forget about the eternity we're going to spend with Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to encourage you today. This life is short. This life is temporary. And one of these days we go home and we will live with Him forever in perfection. That's what we encourage one another with. You having a bad day at work? Thank God you won't have to work in heaven. At least not like we do here. You're not feeling well today? Praise God, I'm going somewhere in a short period of time. I'll never hurt or be sick again. You're feeling a little sad today? He says when we get there, He will wipe away every tear and we'll no longer have sorrow. You're missing a loved one that's already died and gone on? Praise God, you're going to be reunited with them, never to die, and they'll never die again. Encourage one another with these words. Trying to figure out how to keep preschoolers corralled and keep their mask on all day. Oh, praise God, soon we'll be going somewhere you won't have to worry about it. Trying to figure out how you're going to do 5 college-level classes all online and instructors who don't always respond. Do your best, but praise God, one of these days it won't matter because we'll be with Him. Amen. I honestly believe that right now the church in America is at one of the most important crossroads they've ever been at. It has ever been at. We'll call it a fork in the road, not a crossroads. And of course, the great baseball player Yogi Berra always said, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. I believe, though, that right now, this is your pastor's opinion. I believe right now that the church in America, and every local congregation and every individual believer has a choice to make. We can either jump on the bandwagon and we can chase after answers that look good according to man's wisdom, or we can stay true to the Word of God. Understanding that according to the Word of God, it's not going to get better. It will get worse. It may get better temporarily, but the next time something, a crisis comes along, it'll be worse. And the one after that will be even more so and more so. And the only thing that's going to take us through it as a church body, as an individual, and as families is when we follow Christ and no one else. Yes, do go vote. Vote your conscience in the elections. But folks, politics is not the answer. He's the answer. And I want to close by encouraging you with this. One day soon, whatever soon means in God's economy of time, one day soon, we're going home. If that encourages you, stand with me this morning. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times that we let doubt and fear rule the day instead of being true to your word and allowing your word to strengthen us and to encourage us. God, forgive us for the times that we've had opportunity to forgive our brothers or to encourage our brothers and sisters, and we haven't done so. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to keep our focus on you and therefore encourage each other with the fact that this is all temporary and one day soon, we're going home to spend eternity with you. May that be the uppermost thought in our minds at all times, and may that be what our conversation is about. It's about the fact that you love us so much, you're preparing a place for us, and soon you'll come back and take us to be there with you forever and ever. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you.